City of Sydney, home of corruption, loose money and sleaze.
Do not enter the city.
It's the city where everybody fails upwards. The city where you can't walk 5 metres without somebody selling you drugs, Botox, or fucking gelato Messina. And in this glittering glory hole, it takes a keen eye to separate the haves from the have-mores. Separate the dodgy property developers from the really, really dodgy property developers. It takes a team who knows Sydney so well that they've had the good sense to broadcast this show from an entirely different city altogether.
Ladies and gentlemen,
on Sydney's Triple M, this is Radio Chaser.
Yes, g'day Sydney, thanks for joining us here on Triple M. Charles Firth, Mark Humphreys, Rhys Muldoon and Dom Knight with you today. Big news out of the Senate. It looks as though medical marijuana is going to be permitted.
It is. How no, it this? Is. It's now law. It's now completely permitted.
Just check. Double check before you go out and just say, the Chaser said it was legal.
Legal advice from Charles Firth. It is 100% legal. You heard that first right here.
Legal advice from Charles Firth should not be taken seriously.
We'll check out what exactly it is. But look, it's looking, if you've got chronic pain,
Chronic. It'll be
potentially good news for you. Also, if a law gets up in the United States, Donald Trump's tweets will be preserved forever. Very exciting for the National Archives. We're going to take a look at that. It's all coming up right here on Triple M.
Radio Chaser. Triple M.
Breaking news out of the Federal Senate. A lot of us thought they never did anything useful in the upper house of the chamber, but it seems as though medical marijuana is going to happen. The Greens... Of course, the Greens have teamed up with Labor and One Nation. They're going to kill off government restrictions.
Sorry, just say that bit again. The Greens have teamed up with Labor and One Nation.
Yeah.
Right.
Look, all I'm going to say is it was a late night. They started smoking something and suddenly they all agreed about a lot of things.
But it's a terrible, terrible day to have it happened on because my back is just killing me this morning.
You'd never mentioned that before, Charles.
And I'm feeling so stressed.
You look just, quite
I'm
well.
I'm so incredibly stressed to the... I feel like I need something that will help me de-stress and get
weird,
rid of my
back pain.
You've
already ordered all this food as well, which I think is interesting. This platter you've got.
Oh,
here.
I've got all these Tim Tams I've got to eat. I don't have an appetite.
Charles, you might need to go a bit further than your back because what it says here is that terminally ill patients with a doctor's prescription.
You might be really sick.
I'm dying for a joint.
You can personally import a 3-month supply from a regulated overseas market. So it's possible.
You can't get locally grown. How did One Nation approve that? They only approved foreign ganja.
I'm
Aussie weed growers.
I'm going to hold out for Uber Smokes.
Oh,
where they,
yes.
They just deliver it. They just drop it around, little baggie, couple of joints, pizza on the side, whatever.
Because that doesn't exist at the moment, Rhys. There's no such thing as home delivery of...
Of what, Charles?
Marijuana.
Isn't there?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're going to put all of those dealers out of business.
All the radio codes being smoked out. Look, it's terminally ill people.
It's legal now, Dom. There's no radio codes to break.
The grill team are... Don't take us away!
I think that if this is anything like California, they start out by saying, it's for terminally ill people. But
then you have just dudes on the side of the road going, who wants some medical marijuana?
Yeah. I think I mentioned. I
free
was
prescriptions.
I was down on the beach, Venice Beach, and guy goes, do you want some weed? And like from coming out from one of the shops. And I said, I'm not ill, isn't it, for medical purposes.
You did not say that.
You look stressed, man. Come on in. It's fine. I'm a doctor. It's like the guy had long hair and was a hippie.
And that is a terminal condition. In fact, life is a terminal condition.
That's true.
Everyone dies.
That's true.
I think Nietzsche said that.
The funniest dealer that I ever walked past, as you do, but this was in New York, and he literally goes, I'm walking past, he goes, smoking, coking, ass, grass. He was selling the lot.
Right? That was before Donald Trump was elected president, of course.
It was, yeah.
You can grab it when you're famous. Well, there you go. So good. I suppose it's not all good news in that you have to have a terminal illness to access it. But at least it's there if you need it.
And also, the other thing is, it's not yet on the PBS. I'm waiting for the moment when marijuana, you do a co-payment. You only have to pay, $6 out of every stick of $50.
Oh, so it's not at the PBS so far.
I thought it was very interesting that Pauline Hanson had originally voted against this, but it changed her mind because she said that the government had misled her. And I refuse to believe that Pauline Hanson was confused about anything.
It seems impossible, doesn't it? She was quite beautiful in what she said. She said, she made a very powerful statement actually in the Senate today. She said, I will not stand in the way of dying patients' dignity.
It sounds
unless
beautiful.
They're
it
Muslim.
Sounds beautiful. All right, yeah, sorry. Right. It sounds beautiful when you say it. I'm sorry, Dom. I'm sorry. I trod on.
I will not stand unless in the way of dying.
Yeah, because you're allowed the medical marijuana, but you're not allowed to order the halal snack pack afterwards.
Radio Chaser. Triple
M. The President of the United States. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Looking every single one of his 71 years. Reese Muldoon, could you please sing Happy Birthday, Mr. President, in the style of Marilyn Monroe?
Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Slightly less erotic than when Marilyn did it.
Although I like the dress. I think the skirt
thank
actually...
The yes. Yeah. Thank Reese's you, commitment Charles. To this was terrific.
You should show more chest in general. I think that's wonderful. But no, it's a huge day for the Donald, 71 years old. And
which makes him only 2 years older than Melania's dad, who looks identical
who
to
looks
him.
Extremely like him.
Freaking identical.
Know, if you want to know where she got her attraction to men with very, very weird haircuts and a bit of a paunch and
a red
tie that's
really
red tie
long.
That's too long, let's not even, it's too freaky to even look at. But look, he's in a bit of difficulty at the moment. And one of the things that they're looking at in the US is whether his tweets should be archived forever. Because normally on Twitter, you can just delete things when you make a mistake. But communications of the president have to be archived forever. So, a Democratic congressman is actually proposing a law that says Trump can't delete any typos that he does in the future.
And this is the COFFIFA Act. So that is the Communications Over Various Feeds Electronically for Engagement Act.
He tried really hard
to squeeze that in.
If you haven't heard of COFFIFA, Donald Trump was tweeting, complaining about the media COFFIFA. We think he might have fallen asleep mid-tweet.
They spent 5 minutes on the legislation and about 3 days
on the
just
acronym,
coming up with the acronym.
Yeah, sure. Well, the National Archives are understandably very excited by this potential
of course.
New addition to their collection. Would you believe it, guys, that we have already got this new advertisement from the National Archives?
The National Archives preserves important documents of American presidents for future generations, like Abraham Lincoln.
Government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Donald Trump.
Sorry, losers and haters, but my IQ is one of the highest, and you all know it. Please don't feel so stupid or insecure. It's not your fault.
JFK.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Donald Trump.
I've never seen a thin person drinking Diet Coke.
Barack Obama.
It is that fundamental belief. I am my brother's keeper.
And Donald Trump.
Robert Pattinson should not take back Kristen Stewart. She cheated on him like a dog and will do it again.
Yeah, they're real. Plus, on loan from the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg, the Trump pee-pee tape.
Hey, when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
And the little ones will love President Trump's handprints preserved in cement. Forever.
Look, Mommy, they're smaller than mine.
So next time you're in Washington, D.C., check out the Donald Trump exhibition in the National Archives. If you thought Mona was weird, wait till you see this shit.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Triple M. Radio Chaser. News, talk, and, frantic padding. Guys?
Radio Chaser, Triple M. Yeah, now I turned 40 this year. It's a bit of a milestone. You've got to get your head around it. But the thing is, I've been looking old for a long time. That's about all the clap it deserved. Thank you for that, Reese Muldoon. Because I'm as bald as a badger, unfortunately.
Hey, Dom, did you have a 40th?
No. Oh. I was too demoralized to have a 40th.
I was about to be insulted by not being invited.
No, right. I'm not going to not invite you until it happens.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But no, look, it is one of the things that I really don't enjoy about working with the three of you is that you all have hair on your heads. Mark Humphries has too much hair on his head.
Beautiful hair.
Very
looking
airy
like an
hair.
Supermodel. Yeah. Reese Muldoon's much older than me and has a beautiful... Let me just touch it. That's lovely.
Yeah.
So, Charles, you're starting to recede, but frankly, not enough.
Have you considered a sort of Ashley Martin or you know, some sort of service?
Or a rug.
You know, just
hair in a can, I hear, is quite good.
Hair in a can. Just Grecian 2000.
That would so work for you, Dom.
Just
that would,
spray on some black. Just get some brown paint. No, I don't even know the difference. You know, I actually went in writing an article when I still had a little bit of hair. I went into Advanced Hair and got the whole sales pitch.
Yeah,
it was absolutely fascinating. And they had basically the the camera zooming in on what were left of my hair follicles, and it was the most unflattering possible angle. And then, so they show me how terrible my scalp is, and then they show you the video of all of the advanced hair people, and like Greg Matthews is coming out going, it's great. And he's basically, they're all these models who are just, oh, you so look so great. And I was just kind of like going, I can't, not even for Greg Matthews, I can't.
Out of interest, how much was it going to cost?
Yeah.
An awful lot of money. But you know what it is? This isn't the point of the story, but what it actually is was fascinating, because it turns out what they do is they get a strand, one of your few remaining strands of hair, and then match it with, I'm not making this up, presumably peasants in Eastern Europe who have exactly the same strand, colour of hair. They cut off bits of their hair, and then you stick a plastic membrane to your scalp, and when you go in, they feed little bits of hair into the plastic membrane, and that is a strand-by-strand replacement. So you've basically got kind of like a little bit of a shower cap stuck to your head. That's probably a little bit unkind.
You've got like a Russian Eastern Bloc
maybe
haircut.
Maybe a dead man's hair. I don't know.
And what do? They glue the plastic thing to you?
They glue the membrane onto your head. So you've got to go in and get it serviced regularly. And then they put
but
their hair
with an authorised dealer, of course. Yeah.
So look, that's one option. And if people have done the advanced hair or the other versions of that, good on you. You know, whatever. It's all fine.
Yeah.
But what I've done, I just go the buzz cut. It's just so much easier to do. And I'm keen to know if anyone's done the same thing. Just get it all cut off.
So yours is kind of more of a sad acceptance of reality.
It is. And but the crucial thing is to go to the right barber. Go to a barber where there are no memories of the glory that was once atop your scalp. I used to have thick, lustrous hair. Now I've got nothing, which is why I'm glad that I've found the perfect place to go for my pathetic haircuts.
Hey mate, are you bald?
So bald.
Are you tired of going to hairdressers full of people getting their long luscious locks trimmed?
So tired.
Surrounded by photos of models with impeccable thick hair?
It's completely demoralising.
Then come to Baldy's Barber, the hairdresser dedicated to men who are balder than a freshly waxed vagina.
Haven't seen one of those since I had hair.
Baldy's only offers clipper cuts, so you're done before the memories of proper haircuts kick in. No more...
Can I intimately massage your scalp as you lie back for a shampoo?
At Baldy's, our barbers are exclusively straight men, so you don't have to feel the sting of their sexual rejection.
Yeah, I was feeling that.
Plus, our barbers are as bald as a billiard ball, so you won't feel inferior.
Oh. I'll probably still feel inferior.
At Baldy's, we'll quickly clip away the last few strands of your dignity.
Thanks.
So you'll still be ugly, but you'll be shiny too. Thanks.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
Spare a thought for the residents of the suburb of Blacktown, which has been essentially publicly humiliated by the Turnbull government. They've been listed as the top spot in New South Wales for dole bludgers, and nationally second behind Caboolture in Queensland. This is all up on the Triple M website, by the way. 333 people in Blacktown don't turn up to their Centrelink appointments or job interviews, apparently.
It is outrageous.
Very shameful.
That the government is compiling
shaming suburbs.
Yeah, exactly.
And saying, you know, and pointing out flaws in the community, you know. It's punching down.
Yeah.
You're punching down to somebody weak and vulnerable.
People have been calling it Slacktown.
Yeah.
It's just very nice.
That's really nice.
Nobody bullies Blacktown on our watch here at Radio Chaser.
Yeah.
Wouldn't stand for it.
No.
No way.
Instead, we're going to bully everyone else.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, we think that if you're going to do bullying, you should punch up.
That's right. So I'm thinking the prize for like most amount of neck bombs per head of population, looking at you, Mossman.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's just essentially drag every other suburb down to Blacktown's level and shame all of the suburbs. 133353, what's the worst thing about your suburb? We might turn it into some sort of special award.
Why doesn't the government release a list of where the most white-collar crime is committed?
Exactly.
That'd be
their suburbs.
It'd be Point Piper or something,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
In fact, actually, I've got the most tax fraud is 2027, which is Darling Point.
Aha.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
Where's that list? Where's that list, your government?
Yeah. Yeah, instead they just pick on poor people who...
haven't been able to turn up to a job application.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they were busy. Did you think of that, Alan Tudge, with your Centrelink?
Maybe they're waiting for a payment from Channel 10.
Well, that's right. I think we should shame Pyrmont as the suburb with the most broke television stations.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So this is what we want from you. 133353, what is the worst thing about your suburb? We're gonna name and shame some suburbs. Where I live, just around the corner here, in Haymarket, the most backpackers. There are bloody backpackers 24/7. Admittedly, very good for getting Deliveroo.
Yeah.
But otherwise, they're bloody annoying.
What about Bondi? Doesn't Bondi have a little bit?
Oh, Bondi. Oh, Coogee.
We'll see you, Coogee and Bondi.
No, Coogee just has the most expensive beer. Have you been to that new Justin Hems one? Coogee?
No.
That's the suburb with the most expensive beer. That's horrible.
Oh, okay.
It's like $12 for a little, midi.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, don't go to Justin Hems. Pubs. That's not.
Oh, right. Yeah. Just, that's everywhere.
Yeah, just go to the RSL. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've recently moved to Killara, and of course, what Killara.
Where is that?
Killara,
is that a suburb?
That's
actually a suburb.
It's more of a national park with a few trees in there.
Right. Yes. What Killara is known for is nothing. In fact, one sort of notable location is the Marion Street Theatre, which closed in 2013. There's nothing going on in Killara.
What's the bad thing about your suburb? We will hand out awards. Let's drag every suburb in Sydney down to Blacktown's level 133353. For instance, Darlinghurst once had the bloody go-betweens living there, so that's obviously a problem. We'll go to George in Cherrybrook. Hey, George.
Yeah, g'day. How you going?
Now, what's wrong with Cherrybrook?
Mate, there's no pub.
No, what? How is that possible?
Are you?
I don't know. There's no pub.
So wait, Cherrybrook is in Australia.
Yeah, it's up in the hill.
It's kind of in the Bible Belt. Is that why? Is it, if Hillsong got their tentacles in it, they turned the pubs into churches or something?
No, to coffee shops.
I'm Catholic, but there's nothing wrong with going to the pub.
Of course not. Jesus turned water into wine, for heaven's sake. You know what you should do, George? Maybe, have you got a backyard where you live?
Yeah.
Maybe see if you can get a small bar going in your back. I won't tell anyone, George.
You're suggesting a sly grog shop.
I'm suggesting...
It's a very white-collar area, so if I set up a bit of a bar in the backyard, I wouldn't get anybody there because, as far as I'm concerned, when I go to the pub, there's not that many white-collar... When I do go to the pub, there's not that many white-collar guys going to the same pubs that I had to. I'm a tradie, so it's probably got something to do with that. There's not many tradies that live in Cherrybrook, so...
Okay, where do you go to the pub? Do you go to, like, the suburb next door?
Yeah, where do you go? Like Hornsby or something?
Well, no, not Hornsby. I normally go out to Balcombe Hills, the Bull and Bush.
Right, okay, cool. And is that a good... And that's a good pub?
Yeah.
All right, we need more tradies in Cherrybrook. And frankly, George will drink with you. You should open a pub, mate. What are you talking about? 133353, what's the crap thing about your suburb? We will hand out some awards here. I used to live in Glebe near the uni. And the worst thing about Glebe is that Charles Firth lives there. It's terrible. You're always running into him around the place. He's been lived there for years.
I reckon the worst thing about Glebe is the dog poo.
Right. Oh, yes.
Because Clover Moore is the local mayor and everything. And she loves dogs more than she loves...
She loves dog poo more than human feet.
Yeah, right. That's right. And so she just allows the dogs to roam in basically every park. So you take your kids out and they just roll around in the dog poo.
But it's organic. What's wrong? What do you say? It's natural.
I know, exactly. That's exactly... Because they're all smelly greens, on the council. I don't think there's even one Labor or Liberal. Like, they're all... Just
it's total glebe,
poo-loving,
poo-loving,
poo-rustling,
got it.
I used to live in Potts Point as well, and that was very tough. I mean, basically, to walk to the station, back before it got expensive, I could actually afford to live there, and you had to walk, basically run the gauntlet of all the strip clubs and the drug dealers and whatever. It was quite confronting, and one of my mates got held up with a syringe. Of course, there are other times when living in King's Cross has its... advantages, but most of the time it's terrible.
I recently moved out of Crow's Nest, and what Crow's Nest is now known
you really
for,
like that side of the bridge.
I've got a very sheltered lifestyle, but anyway, what's interesting about Crow's Nest is it's now sort of become the home of massage parlors. There's something like 15 on the one main street.
I thought we were shaming suburbs.
Not plugging.
The worst thing is I don't know which ones are the rub and tug.
You just want a legitimate
I just want to go in for a regular back rub.
With a disappointing ending.
Exactly.
Just speaking of rub and tugs, just for a moment, okay? One of my mates from Puppetry the Penis, right?
Channel 10 is now under administration, and we learned earlier, we weren't kind about it, but we learned that they owe Charles Firth money, Channel 10, which he now probably won't get. So
I've got some good news for Charles, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, I've just found something in the Telegraph here, and the headline is, 10 could still be TV winner.
Oh, wow.
Billionaires likely to get with the program. It's saying that cashed up private equity firms, Australian billionaires, have been earmarked as potential buyers, meaning there is no danger that the broadcaster will go off air.
Oh, great. So I just lose my money, but it keeps on going.
Possibly. Yeah, that's why you're going to administration. Yeah. Right.
Oh, actually, and I've got some news here. They're going to do a rebrand.
Of Channel 10?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Instead of being called Channel 10, they'll now be called Channel 10 Cents in the Dollar.
Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Charles, Mark, Reese and Don with you today. Most of us spend our entire lives on our smartphones. Have we got the segment for you?
Hey, what's happening?
Yes, all the latest from the world of smartphone apps. Basically crap things you can download onto your phone or tablet. And Charles Firth is our appy man.
It's not crap things. It's...
Oh, sorry. Amazingly useful and helpful things you don't know you could live without.
Thank you, Dom. Thank you. Today's theme is messaging apps, which are incredibly useful, except for the ones that I now present to you.
Because I've got like 12 messaging apps on my phone. I couldn't possibly need another one. Or could I?
Or could you? Well, no, not these ones. So the first one is called Plag.
Plag. That's a catchy. They're running out of screens, aren't they? Like Plag.
And the idea is that...
And they've got that other app called Smegma.
but the idea is, I think it's a play on words for plague. Like, I think the idea is, you know, you're sending out messages that will then catch on like a plague.
Yeah.
And destroy that everything. Good. There are other app, The Black Death.
But it's like Tinder for people who don't have any friends and don't want love, but are in love with memes. So, you know, Tinder, the dating app.
I've heard of it. I've seen yours.
Yeah. So, that's right. Yeah. And so what you do is you make memes. You know, have you been on Reddit and things? You know, those sort of like...
Yeah, funny little images animations and things. Yeah.
Sort of really dull, boring, as far as this app goes. And you post it up. And then what it does is it actually works out where you are and then shares it with people right near you that are also using that app. And then if it gets enough swipe ups, so instead of swipe left, swipe right, this is swipe up, swipe down.
That's edgy. Yeah,
very, very different. If you get enough swipe ups, then your meme then travels around the world. Okay. So, for example, I'll just open Plag now. The first meme, Plag, is the only...
Could you put your Plag away, please?
Yeah, the only thing that can travel faster than light is the mind's eye. Is that an up or a down? That's a down.
Down.
Okay. Yeah. And then the next one is a cartoon, down. As a kid, did you ever knock on people's doors and run away before they could answer? Well, guess what? We are hiring Australia Post.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay, let's go up. No, go up just for argument's sake.
Okay, so what happens when you go up? It then just has a loading sign for a while.
Oh,
the really annoying person at your work who puts really crap things on Facebook that aren't funny, that's where they get them from.
This is an enabler for those sorts of horrible people.
Right.
So it's called Plag. Don't download it.
All right. Okay, it's called Plag. It's got a shit name and it does nothing.
By the way, I just searched on the App Store and the Smegma is still available. No one's called that. What else, Charles?
I wanted to review an app based out of South Korea called Honey, It's Me, which is another messaging app where you can pretend you've got a girl, a South Korean girl who's a model as a girlfriend, and she'll send you four video messages a day telling how much she loves you.
Right.
It's from this one girl, but she does four a day, and anyone who's with the Honey, It's Me app gets to receive her
guys
messages.
Get to look like they're popular and have a girlfriend.
Yes,
that's the
exactly.
bottom line.
And she'll send you text messages and things like that. Unfortunately, it's not available in the Australian App Store, so you do actually have to go to South Korea, it would seem.
To have the girlfriend.
To be able to get that app. But it's highly rated, and apparently it's a sensation. Like, there's literally millions of South Korean men downloading Honey, It's Me. But while I was looking for that app, I came across the Raptor or Duck or Honey Badger or Llama app.
Catchy.
Have you got this app?
Anyone got this app? You know we don't.
No, you have to download. This is the best app in the world. It honestly, like, it is absolutely
addictive. Better than Plag.
And all it is a quiz which shows you really, really close-up images of either a raptor or a duck or a honey badger or a llama, and you have to guess which one it is. And there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
Forever.
That's it. Forever, yeah.
Sold.
Compelling.
Sold.
Okay.
So, better than my fake. I might share that with my fake South Korean girlfriend, actually.
But then finally, the final app today, which I actually think you should download, is Ditty. I don't know whether have you.
Oh yes, so I've been playing it with my niece and nephew. They love Ditty.
Yeah. So this is a sensation across the US at the moment. It turns your text messages into songs.
Nice.
So, yes. And so, Reece,
that's very nice, Charles. I love to get a message from you.
So I actually introduced this
please
to Reece
touch me
this morning.
I love you.
And I got him to download the app and everything like that. And, you know, and we just sort of see whether it would work.
Yeah.
In real
can you
life.
Have a conversation?
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, I asked Reece to get me a coffee. Hello.
Fortunately, it's the words are visible on the screen in case you can't hear them.
Yeah, like some S. songs you can understand, some songs you can't. Yeah. We should probably explain that.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so Reece then replied. What kind of coffee? What kind of coffee? What kind of coffee? Yeah. What kind of coffee? Yeah. To which I responded. A short black, please. A short black, please.
A short black, please. A short lack. Yeah, that sounds great.
A short lack, please. Yep. Yes. And then Reece responded with. Getting it now, getting it now.
I'm sure I've heard some of these on the ARIA charts.
All of our text messages are like number one in South Korea.
But it is true. It immediately got Reece and me in. Like, we just went away and for about an hour we're playing with all these different things that you can sort of. And you can even download. You don't have to just stick to the sort of ones that they, for money, you can actually pay for new songs and things like that. So, for example, I downloaded the Star, for $1.49, I downloaded the Star Wars song.
You're the best.
You're and the best. I sent that to that Reece, was $1.49 well spent.
Anyway, so that is Ditty. Download it and, you know, add me. And it's like Instagram or something like that. You can actually follow people's feeds and everything like that. So I'm now on as Charles Firth.
Yep,
Reece is on as Reece Muldoon.
Yep.
Follow us. This is going to be bigger than
it's
Instagram.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah, yep. That's right. So you were on Apple
and
Radio
Chaser. And look, a regular friend of the show here, we just love having him on at an uncertain time, a dangerous time. There is one man who has the world's back. His name is Jason Bond. He's an American super spy, and he very kindly makes time to speak to us here at Radio Chaser in between his instances of saving the world. And in fact, we've got Jason Bond on the line right now from North Korea.
No, Dom, no, I've been reassigned. North Korea is now in the safe and extremely large hands of our top intelligence officer, Agent Dennis Rodman.
Oh, really? So where are you?
I'm in Moscow.
How did you get into the country?
Well, easy. I simply hitched a ride from Cape Canaveral on an unmanned drone that was heading towards the Crimean Peninsula. Then, as I was passing over, I jumped off. My parachute failed me, but that was no matter, as I aimed my fall towards a conveniently placed barn. Although my body shattered the barn and crushed a group of Crimean orphans huddled inside, well, it was a price I was willing to pay. As luck would have it, one of the orphans was wearing a tuxedo in my size. I donned it and approached a dismayed farmer. Fortunately, I've mastered the grammatically complex and impossible to pronounce Crimean Tatar language, thereby perfectly blending in.
You know how to speak the local Crimean Tatar language?
Oh, yes. I once married a Crimean oil heiress. Well, unfortunately, she turned out to be a Russian agent, and I ended up having to dispatch her. But only after making sweet, tender love one last time. Anyway, I then hitched a ride on an unmanned drone to Moscow. Unmanned drone is, of course, Russian slang for a donkey cart. Now, here in Moscow, I've been stoking discontent amongst dissident groups the last few weeks. Most of them anti-government donkeys.
The Russian opposition leader got arrested for protesting against Putin yesterday. Were you behind that?
Absolutely. This is a new Cold War, pure and simple. My plan is to destabilize Russia to the point where Putin has no choice but to cease his campaign against democracy in the West. I will do that by gaining the trust of his opposition. And this will mainly be achieved by seducing the female dissidents with promises of unbelievably hot nights of passion from me. Once I have that trust, they will mount protest after protest. I've taught them a lot about mounting over the years, and then they'll get locked up in increasingly large numbers.
Right, and then will Putin be ousted?
Oh, hell no, he's not going anywhere. With any luck, he'll call a truce, and we'll call off the campaign.
And what happens to all the Russian protesters who want to get rid of Putin?
Well, they'll just have to rot in jail for the rest of their life. And that's a price I'm willing to pay to secure democracy in America.
Oh, that's a bit disappointing.
Oh, not at all. They'll be given conjugal visiting rights, so they still get access to my chiseled body. And in the end, that's all they truly care about. That and donkeys.
Agent Jason Bond, thank you very much, and good luck.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Don. I have to go. Duty awaits. She's a hard taskmaster.
Radio Chaser. Triple M.